You're listening to Two Guys, One Album with music insiders Michael Heidemann and Paul Farva.
We are two music experts.
I mean, experts is pushing it.
Taking on the greatest albums of all time.
It's a little subjective.
Song by song with careful analysis.
All right, I wouldn't say careful. Look, we're having fun with the songs.
Two Guys,
One Album.
Welcome into another episode of Two Guys,
One Album.
Paul, it's that time again.
I know, Michael. I wish this was our intro music, to be honest with you. What a great way to start an album.
Just a little bit of that wop wop right into that kicking rock solo.
Hell yeah.
That's right. It's time for another episode of Two Guys, One Album. Today we're taking on What's the Story, Morning Glory by the band Oasis. Their infamously famous breakout chart smasher classic hit album. I mean, there's not a place you can go without either somebody singing some of these songs at karaoke or somebody talking about
cover
how
band, yeah.
Cover band or somebody at a bonfire who just won't shut up by playing.
Are you going to a lot of bonfires, Michael?
Well, that's, you know, you always see somebody with an acoustic guitar and what's the one song they know to play? It's
Champagne Supernova.
Or Wonderwall.
Wonderwall too, yeah.
Both on this album.
Well, Champagne Supernova was a song that I played in my very first cover band. And Wonderwall was one of the first songs I played acoustic to try to woo women.
Yeah?
Woo.
Did they think that you were the
one? No, it didn't ever work out. Not on Wonderwall. And also it became a constant joke. But you know what? The one thing I will say about this band and this album, first of all, this wasn't their debut album. It was their first album that like got them attention. It was their second album, which a lot of people don't know. But yeah, they're an amazing band. I mean, blatantly influenced by the Beatles in so many ways.
You could say that.
Yeah.
I think they've mentioned that before in more than a few interviews.
Right.
It's cool because they both, as many people know, are led by two brothers, Noel and Liam Gallagher, who, much like John and Paul, you know, had their trifes sometime.
Right. This one's a little more restless.
Yes, I don't think.
Yeah, they
I don't think
get along at all.
No, I don't think that John and Paul ever got in fist fights or called each other the C word so many times.
So many times.
Over the,
you can't
the early
see
90s.
Any interview. Even now, they still talk shit to each other.
But. Do you think that that's a PR thing, or do you think they're actually against each other?
I think it's a little of both. Okay. I think it's a little of both because Rolling Stone just did an article where they were talking about brothers who are feuding. And, you know, it gets them in the papers. But I do think they don't like each other.
Yeah.
But I also think that it's helping sell albums.
I think it is, too. And to be honest, I like that they're always at ends.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
It also helps with both of their tours. They're both solo tour artists right now, Noel and Liam.
But they would be so much bigger if they were together.
Yes. And that first song you heard was, of course, the opening to the album.
Yes.
That was the song, Hello.
Hello.
They say hello to us on the album.
Yeah, it's a great, great song. Great way to start an album. What can you say?
You know what? Right on from the get-go, we got to mention that in the jacket of the album, all songs are by Noel Gallagher. He was the influential songwriter, kind of the front man for the band.
Well, the front writer.
Yeah, front writer. He, to be honest, Liam, if you hear that, I'm so sorry that
he
I
would call you the
front man.
C-word, yeah.
The producers were Owen Morris and Noel Gallagher also produced the album. This guy kind of does it all. You know, he doesn't get as much, what am I talking about? Of course he gets enough
ton of credit.
What am I saying over
he
here?
He does. Well, let's get into the album.
Let's do it.
We started Hello already, that's just a good basic hit song you can't go wrong with.
And I think that song number two,
roll
know,
with it.
You gotta roll with it sometimes. And if we can roll with this track, that'd be fantastic.
Yes.
Such a great Beatles knockoff. I can't even help. You know, funny story about this song. I actually do have a little bit of a connection to this band, believe it or not. When I was in... Oh, this part, though. You gotta roll with it. You gotta take it. You gotta say what you say. Don't let anybody get in your way. the lyrics just like hit you right in the gut. So when I was in third grade, Paul, were you ever in the talent show at school?
No, I was a very shy kid.
You know, get
out of
town.
Super shy.
Come on, man.
I still am sometimes, but yeah. So what happened in third? This was out when you were in third grade. God, I feel so old right now.
Well, yeah, it was out when I was in third grade.
Damn.
In fact, it was a really, really big album, and I had a friend, and his name was Paul Lanvitt, and him and I were the only two guys in school. Hello, Paul. Mm-hmm. We're the only two guys in school who played guitar and liked weird
in
music.
In third grade, you played guitar?
Yeah, well, our dads both played guitar, and they bought us guitars,
okay.
So we were able to.
So you've been playing since third grade. You should be a lot better at guitar. I'm not gonna lie to you. You should be. Van Halen style good.
May or may not have taken a few years off over the
okay,
years,
makes
I
sense.
Could say. But I did know how to strum and play a D chord.
And you guys played this song?
And for our third grade talent show. Well, no, for the fourth grade talent show. It was, we met in third grade, got into this album, played in the fourth grade talent show. I remember going over to his house and we played Roll With It for the talent show, and Paul was very much into it. And I remember him coming over to my house and us playing this album. And it was at a time when music really didn't hit me yet,
mm-hmm.
but this was my first time when I needed to listen to a song over and over and over again until I got sick of it. And I got sick of this song in fourth grade. But now, listening back to it, it makes me just think about these amazing memories. And Paul Lanvitt and him, when I would need to watch his timing, and he would always turn around and say, "Are you staring at my ass?" In like a joking, like Liam Gallagher way.
Oh, that's so cute.
It was a good time. So it was a cool memory and great song.
I did like it when it was out. This was one of those albums where you could just play through and you didn't have to skip any songs. But
yes.
This was one of those songs where I didn't feel strongly about it. I loved it, but I wasn't like, you know, I could move it. I didn't need to listen to it outside of when I listened to the old album.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But
I could take that.
The next song. However,
now did this song hit you a little bit closer to the heart?
So yeah, I've got mixed emotions about this next song, as
right,
a lot of people probably do.
Let's take a quick listen to it real fast. Here we go. I already know what you're gonna say.
Oh yeah,
you
great
played
song.
This in your fifth grade talent show.
No, I did not like this song or the video when it came out. This is what my first connection with Oasis.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you.
Timeless.
By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.
Yeah. I didn't like it at first, but
back
then
me,
I thought it was
the
amazing.
On the street, that the fire
and then when Ryan Adams covered it,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I went back and revisited it again. I was like, yeah, okay, this is an amazing song.
Then you
but
got
this
more
was
into
like,
it.
Yeah, but it was one of those songs that grows on you. Like when you first saw it, I was like, man, they're like blatantly ripping off the Beatles. And then I was like, yeah, but it's cool. Like same the band Greta Van Fleet right now. I don't know if you heard of them, but they sound so much like Led Zeppelin, but they sound so good. Like that's
mm-hmm.
It's that same concept.
There is a line you can draw in the sand, and if you know how to walk over that line and crush it the way that Oasis
mm-hmm.
did, you can get away with being and sounding like a popular band like the Beatles or Led Zeppelin. And it's songs like this where they just hit it right on the nose. To be honest, I think that the Beatles probably heard this and thought and wished that they could have wrote it. Because
the ones that were still alive back then?
Yes, exactly.
95, yeah.
90, yeah, man.
95,
so
yeah. I was in college. I remember when this came out. But I will say that it's an awesome song. It deserves all the accolades it gets. A lot of people say it's one of the best songs of all time.
And they also talk about getting high. And back in the 90s, believe it or not, it wasn't
frowned upon.
It was very frowned upon. It's weird to think about that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because today, all songs are about doing Molly and lacing it with cocaine and doing all this stuff. And back then, you needed to kind of hide it into this. Like, the words are, "Where were you when we were getting high?" And
well, that's champagne.
It was a matter of like talking about space, but
mm-hmm.
you don't know what you meant.
No, they were talking about hot.
They were talking about getting
but
high.
You can't look back at that time in anger. You really can't. You just got to look back and say, wow, it was great. Which brings us to the next song.
You don't say. Or should I say, you don't say.
Which is probably the biggest blatant ripoff off the Beatles.
Slip inside the eye of your mind.
This song is the biggest ripoff.
Yes.
A better place to play.
You even heard that hello. That's a you said that is like the Beatles.
I mean, this is... But here's the thing. So many bands are influenced by the Beatles. Why not embrace it? And that's what they
that's
probably
said.
That's
a good point. Same haircut, same looks.
I'm not even looking at the image, but the guitar, the bridge, everything is a blatant. I mean, I can't. There's a song that's like, I can't even think of it right now. But I mean, it's still an amazing song.
Yeah, though. You know what, Paul? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that this is one of the greatest songs of all time.
Don't Look Back in Anger?
Don't Look Back in Anger. Words that that Noel constructs to the tone that Liam puts towards the song, and the other members of the band, Paul McGuigan?
Wow.
Bass player,
you're
Alan
saying
White.
The best of all time? I don't know, man.
One of the best. Just think about this. Mm. I love the verse. I think it's coming up right here. Oh,
we missed it.
We missed it. I'm talking about the second verse that starts up when he goes, please don't put your life in the hands of a rock and roll band. Oh, man, what a good lyric.
That's great. I agree with that.
It's coming up.
Take me to the place where you go.
And then this little scream of the guitar that's coming up right here.
I mean,
here we go. Here's the lyric. Just meditate.
Please don't put your life in the hands of a rock and roll band.
I mean, what they really did was take Imagine in Watching the Wheels by John Lennon and sped it up a little bit and added a little crunchy guitar.
Oh, you know what? Now that you mentioned that, I could see that. I could see that.
I mean, here's how I know it. It's because when we were covering the song, we used to do a medley that would go into Watching the Wheels and then come back out. I mean, it's the same freaking line. But it's who cares? A lot of that, you can say that about a lot of songs. There's songs that Neil Diamond and Grateful Dead had very common too. So we're not gonna fault them for it.
We all know those bands just ripped off Oasis anyway, right?
Yeah.
Came so, well before that. All right, let's go.
I will
say
it's one of the great songs of the 90s, but you've made a bold statement, probably the boldest statement you've made in Two Guys One Album history.
Doesn't it make you want to just take your guitar though and bang that C?
No, not really.
And
it's not even my favorite song on this album. Bang that C. No, I would. It's not even the best song on the album. But what's next? Hey Now.
Yeah.
Hey Now.
Hey Now. It might be the best song on the album.
Hey Now?
No, the last one. But this, I'm saying Hey Now to you. This is
Hey
like
Now.
An Abbott and Costello kind of bit right now.
I don't even remember this song. This is probably when I was like getting high. I was like, I'm just going to go fill this bowl. Oh, yeah.
Just as the sky turned black, I took a walk with my veins down memory lane. I never did find my way back.
Yeah, I don't. This is a kind of just a filler. If they played this at the concerts back then, you'd be like, oh, I'm going to go get another beer.
This is the beer song?
Yeah, and it's long, too.
That's why they call it Hey Now, where they're like, hey now.
Hey Now.
We got some beer?
That's how they get beers in England. They're like, we need a song that can give people a break to go pee. And that's what they did. That's my accent. I can't do English accents.
That was a good one. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
It's all right.
You know, I gotta say, they two guys with the name Paul in the band.
Well, that was the lineup back then. Paul. They changed it. The lineups didn't change significantly.
Oh, yes.
Well,
yes.
There's no Oasis currently, so I guess it doesn't really matter.
Oh, they got to come back.
Yeah, but not now. So what's the number six is a song that's untitled and also known as the Swamp Song, which is only 44 seconds.
Oh, yeah. I know this from listening to Pandora, and they would always tack this on the end of Hey Now.
But here's the thing. This is like those like little bits that Kanye had. You know, this was their answer, or this was the prequel to having little bits between songs. They're like, we're not going to do bits, try to be funny. We're just going to rock out for 40 seconds.
This is probably right when the people knew to run back after getting their beer. They're like, oh, they're at that one part.
I don't think they played that in concert, but some might say they did.
Oh,
which
did you just say? That's a nice.
Whoa, look at that. It's the next song.
Oh, my God.
Some might say they did.
They were able to interlace that 90s tambourine style drum beats, straightforward, almost like we listened to with the Cranberries and Counting Crows, like we listened to. You can tell the 90s influences, but they mixed it with that 60s kind of psychedelic sound so well. 70s
electric rock, too. You can hear that, too. Kind of like T-Rex there a little bit, a little Bowie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. It's a good song, but meh.
And they also
filler
with their
filler. Some might say, is a filler. I would be one of those guys. Not a bad song, but meh. You know, I could.
But
I could,
right here where it kicks in,
some might say.
Oh yeah, I did forget. I do like this song.
See, it grows on you.
You're right, Michael. Thanks for keep playing it. I do remember this. I did like this song.
I'm glad that you could see that. Well,
we need to prequel a lot of this stuff. With 90s were a period of time for me where I drank a lot, and I did experiment with marijuana, and I was in a band called Fat Albert with a PH. Shout out to Fat Albert. We covered some Oasis.
Great name.
Yeah, we had some good band
Fat
names.
Albert.
Fat Albert. Okay. I came up with that. And But some stuff I don't remember, because I was in 95. I was living in a fraternity, and there was a lot of drinking. Mm-hmm. And this album was probably one of the most played albums. You'd go into that fraternity house, and you'd hear it blaring out of room 12, which I believe was my room. But I wasn't listening to all the songs. We'd be like, okay, we're gonna hear "Don't Look Back in Anger." Hey, now we'll go get a drink. And then some might say, like, oh yeah, I do like this song. So I take it back. That's a good song.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's all I can say.
It grows on you. And that's all you could say.
Yeah, it's a good song. It's better than most. And this is a great album. I'm not going to shit on this album this week. I'm definitely going to like it a lot. When we close out, I'll explain my arguments.
But... Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, I'm thinking about my rating already after some of these songs. Let's jump into the next
Cast one. No Shadow. I don't remember. And also, I don't remember these songs by names, because we just would put the album. We would put numbers, hate it.
I'm sure when you were like playing this on your guitar, some nice little lady in your apartment, you weren't thinking about, hey, let's play some more Cast More Shadows, or
no,
Cast No Shadows.
I didn't do accents for people, and I didn't live in an apartment.
I think, you know what I think it is, Paul, why I keep doing this accent, is because this is a band where, do you remember where there was a time in music where if you had an accent and you were living in England, or you were an English artist or a British artist, I sound so glib right now. Anyway, if you had an accent and it was particularly very strong, like Dolores O'Riordan.
Rest in peace.
Yes, rest in peace. You could tell that she had a strong voice, but you couldn't really tell where she was from. And this is a band that embraced their English accent.
You know where they're from, right?
Yes.
And you can hear it in they're singing with an English accent.
They're from Liverpool, and they're going to let you know, just like the Beatles.
Are they from Liverpool?
You know what? I could research that. Probably should have looked at that before we talked into it and made a blatant statement about it. This is, you know what this song sounds like?
They're from Manchester.
Oh, Manchester. That's what I meant. Not Liverpool. That's the Beatles.
It's a Bonehead move. Much like Bonehead Arthurs, which is guitarist. They called him Paul Bonehead Arthurs. Okay, what were you saying? I do like this song. This is just one of those good fillers, you know. And the thing is back in the 90s, you could put in an album and you could just leave it. You didn't have to skip over songs. There was no like dramatic changes. There'd be like slow songs, but these songs were like cool, chill music in the background.
Yes.
And you were happy.
Yeah, it glides very well, because at that time you were actually creating an album. You weren't just doing a single piece that you would sell to iTunes one day. There was no iTunes.
No, not in the 90s. And these songs were all, you got, you know, people put in an album and they would last between, you know, 35, 50 minutes. This one was a 50-minute album. Mm-hmm. And you knew, like, you know, whatever you were going to do, whatever task you were going to undertake, mm-hmm. that album would be done. And, you know, they weren't burning CDs back then either, so.
It's very true. You know, everything really turned kind of electric.
Yeah.
This is the next song. She's Electric. One of the most toe-tapping, rocking songs on this album. I think that this and Wonderwall and Don't Look Back in Anger were probably my most played songs on this album. She's Electric.
She's electric. She's in a family full of eccentrics. She's done things I've never expected, and I need more time.
Now, they kind of work with a little bit of falsetto in this song. You'll be able to hear it when they get to the chorus, but I remember hearing this song and thinking immediately, I need to grab my acoustic guitar and learn how to play this. And
yeah. It's
a great rhythm, great chord structure, and here we go into that falsetto. This is a little bit more Beach Boys-y than their normal Beatles influence.
I also feel the Monkees on this, to be honest with you.
Little Monkees, yeah. What? All right, I'm getting really into this song. And then here we go with this part. Gosh.
Yeah, I forgot about this part.
It's just a fun pop song, and that's the best part of
it. It's like the commercial.
Album.
I like to buy the world a Coke. They got in trouble for that.
Great song structure, great melody,
makes
and awesome lyrics.
Makes you want to buy a Coke. Diet Coke, possibly.
It makes you want to buy a Coke?
Yeah, because of the Coke commercial. I like to buy the world a Coke. That's what people thought.
Uh-oh, we might need to rifle through these next couple songs. You ready to do a speed round real fast?
Well, we got to go. We've got to, we've got to do some stuff. What do we got next? We're almost done, actually. We only have a couple songs. Morning Glory.
Oh, come on.
I don't remember this song. Hold on.
All your dreams are made when they're chained to the edge of a razor blade.
Oof. I do know that this song has the line, "Tomorrow never knows what it doesn't know too soon," which is a clear reference to "Tomorrow Never Knows," the Beatles song. So, I mean,
that's a lot of repetition in this song. It feels like they were getting a little bit tired of their lyrics at this point. They wanted a song that you could sing along to, and this grew to a connection. A lot of great bands, you know, have been playing, have been from England, who did a little bit of an Oasis cover feel. Have you heard of the band The Struts?
I have.
Amazing, amazing band. Reminds me a lot of Oasis. Actually, this past Halloween time, I think, they came to Chicago and played a full set as Oasis. One of the coolest
awesome.
Cover bands I've seen.
They do the cover shows for Halloween, a lot of bands do different bands, and Oasis is always one of the ones that people want to pick because they're so fun to
Yeah, you know sing. What band I would do?
Was that?
Fat Albert with PH.
We need to have a reunion. But a lot of those members went on to play in other bands such as Shoeshine Boy. But so the next song after Morning Glory, are we still on Morning Glory?
This is...
This is
11.
11 is just 40 seconds. Swamp song excerpt number 2.
I love it.
And then we go to the finale, which in my opinion is not only the greatest song on this album, but one of the greatest albums of greatest songs of the 90s.
Yeah. Makes me thirsty too.
Because the beginning?
For some champagne. No?
No. But we did cover this in Fat Albert. And it's a long song of 7 minutes, so there's a lot of doodling on the guitar, and we did create a guitar solo that wasn't there in the original.
You know, I would have loved to see your band.
There's a video of it.
Did you sing this?
I sang backup.
Okay. Where were you while we were getting high?
But you know what? I didn't. Wait a minute. I was in a band that did sing it. I did sing this in a couple bands. And there are tapes and videotapes of those somewhere. And God, I need to find those before.
You know what?
TMZ does.
Before this podcast
horrible.
Takes off.
Yes.
Oh,
but
man.
It's a great song. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. What is there not to? Who doesn't like that song?
It's an amazing song. This whole album is fantastic. It was influential to so many bands.
Right.
And to be honest, I said that Wonderwall had When We Were Getting High, and I totally blanked on that. It's actually
I know I corrected you back then. We are nothing if we're not accurate on this podcast.
Very
that's
accurate.
What we say all the time.
All right,
but it's a great song, and they had a radio version of it that was only 5 minutes long, which back in the 90s was unheard of because it was so long. But the album version was 7 minutes and 28 seconds.
Man, what a fantastic
such
album.
A good song.
I wish we had more time to do some more, to dive into some more research about this album. Obviously, our listeners are probably saying, you forgot about this, and the fact that Liam and Noel did this.
We're not a podcast to talk about the bickering and the shit. You guys can find that on your own.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not about a band. There's other podcasts for that. We are uncovering a full album.
Mm-hmm.
We're listening to the whole album and we're telling stories like Michael's fourth grade recital.
Wait, it was a talent show.
Whatever. And me not remembering the 90s, largely in part to Oasis, because they were one of the most played albums in 1995 and 96 in my fraternity house.
Absolutely. A band there's no person on the planet that won't at least give this band some credit for influencing the bands today, and this album being one of the greatest albums of all time. I think we're about that time to give our ratings, though. And
go to your ratings.
You're going to give mine first?
Yeah, I want to hear yours first.
We're going
to
start
high
here.
Change it after you hear mine. You always like Price is Right me.
I do actually.
So I'm gonna
because you give so many good points and you also add the emojis and I like that
well,
about it.
We gotta clarify that.
Yes.
So before you go, the most you can get is 11 because it's a social media world where you can only have up to 11. Mm-hmm. Where 11 is when it stops showing the name,
mm-hmm.
and that's the most we can get. So 11 is the highest you can get, What are you going to do? How many thumbs up are you going to give them? What are you going to do?
Oh, my friends would be very, very cautious with this album because it means so much to them. I've never given a band an 11. I'm going to give Oasis's Champagne Supernovas.
No, it's called.
I know it's called. I was going into She's Electric, Cast No Shadow, Hello, Roll With It, and others. What's the Story? Morning Glory. An uber solid 9. I'm going to give it a 9.
9 thumbs ups?
9 thumbs up where okay. I'm like going hard at those 9s.
So
I'm
likes.
Clicking 9 so fast, you wouldn't even believe my computer is about to explode. Plus, the smiley face with the sunglasses because of Noel and Liam like to wear sunglasses at times. So what do you give it, Paul?
I'm going to give it 7 likes. And then 2 middle fingers, but the middle fingers are out of love because it's to the one for each of the brothers, and they're going to be the yellow middle fingers because they're giving them to each other.
Are they yellow?
Well, I mean, they're as close as white can be.
It's a good point.
Because
they're
pasty
from,
white. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, the European.
Or is there, I don't think there's a pasty white middle finger.
Write us in. with your emojis. Just emoji emails, please.
Yeah, I mean, and if you guys want us to more feedback on this album, message us. We have our email is twoguysonealbum@gmail.com,
mm-hmm.
and you can catch us there or on SoundCloud or iTunes and all that stuff, or message us. I'm at my website is paulfcomedy.com.
And you can find me at michaelheideman.com, too. We are looking forward to speaking to you, reaching out to you. We love all of our listeners. Keep that mail coming in. Paul, this was an excellent episode.
Great episode. We finally agreed on an album.
Finally. This is Michael and Paul for Two Guys,
One Album.